Folks, here we are once again with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Absolutely amazing weekly updates. We got a big one for you today. Don't forget, you can go in the description box below this video, andweknow.com/gold. It's a ticker going across the bottom there. You'll see it on your screen. And if you're listening in, again, all you have to do is go to that website, reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, and you'll have conversations just like I'm having now. They'll take care of you. Absolutely brilliant. We're so excited about our relationship and how you've helped our family out for sure. And so it's been a strange week, a lot of weird things going on all the time. And we've seen so many of these plays out by the enemy trying to take care of our free speech, you know, get rid of us, make sure that we're not sharing anything anymore with anybody. We talked about that last week. And it seems like no matter what's playing out against the election this year with President Trump, there seems to be more positive news towards stopping the steal of this election. And I tell people all the time, notice that President Trump talked about how the elections were going to be stolen in 2020. Yet this year, he says, wait till November 5th. It's going to be the biggest state you've ever seen in your entire life. And so I don't know if you follow that, Dr. Kirk Elliott. I'm sure you do. We talk about it sometimes. But what are your thoughts on that before we go into the money?
You know, Trump is a master strategist, right? I, in my opinion, I think he was the best economic president that we've ever had, right alongside Reagan. I think those two were absolutely incredible. You know, his ideas, you can go back to, remember Steve Forbes? Steve Forbes was running for president, like, I don't know, it was 20 years ago, and he was pushing for a fair flat tax. And I think Trump would really like to do the same, because it makes sense to me. It's like, and it makes sense on all fronts. If you're a, if you're of low income, you say, I want to stick it to the wealthy, right? So a fair tax would actually do that, because it's based on consumption. If right. somebody wants to spend millions of dollars a year, let them, and they're going to pay taxes on it. If you're a billionaire, and you don't want to spend any money because you're frugal and you're Midas, right? It's like, okay, then you're not going to be taxed. Or if you're middle income and you spend everything that you've got plus another 25% because you've done it on credit cards, well, you're going to pay a lot of taxes, right? Yep. I think that whole concept is a very biblical one, in the sense of, you know, the Bible tells us that a borrower is a slave to the lender. Don't borrow. Don't spend more than what you have. Live frugally, right? Give, learn how to be givers. And that whole concept, I think, is a biblical one. I love the whole idea of abolishing the IRS, because you don't need it if it's just a national sales tax. All you need is a computer that actually says, all right, 12% tax on everything that you buy at the you know, cashier. That's it. I mean, it's not hard. And imagine the budget savings that you would have with the government. And I don't think they would actually lose any revenue, but it would be fair, right? It would be fair. It wouldn't be progressive income taxes. You know, when you have progressive income taxes, I know I have a long-winded answer to your short question, but the reason I think that Trump would want that so badly is because he's very much a constitutionalist. He wants freedom. He wants privacy. And so the whole concept of a progressive income tax, meaning if you make $10,000 a year, the tax is like, what, 12, 15%. And you go all the way up to the highest tax brackets, like 35% or whatever it is, right? So that whole concept of progressive income tax, the more money you make, the more taxes you have to pay percentage-wise, is like one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto.
Ooh.
Is a progressive income tax. And yet, when the IRS was established way back in the day, like you and I were talking about, to actually fund a war, it was never meant to be a permanent thing.
Right.
Well, how was it? Well, they based it on communist principles. Most people don't understand that. But so much of what we have in this country is in the shadows, socialism, communism, and you know, you can't say that we can't really even say that we're a democratic republic anymore. We're acting more like a command and control socialist government here.
Right.
We've lost our way. We've walked away from biblical principles that should have guided our nation to this day, because that's what guided our nation when the founding fathers put it together. We just didn't listen to those warnings.
That's right. In the past 23, 24 years now, I feel like we've given up a lot of our rights that when they did the 9/11 thing. And of course, I've shared my thoughts on that in many videos on how they played that out to all of us in a very big deception, creating the Department of Homeland Security. And I was just in the airports traveling, and I'm telling you, I flew from Orlando to Dallas, and at 4 a.m, we actually landed, and the line to get through TSA was almost an hour. The line to get in to check your bags in was almost an hour. I mean, every single thing. And I told this guy, he was traveling to South Dakota. We were waiting in line, just kind of, you know, chuckling. I said, I miss the good old days. And he looked at me, put a hand on the shoulder, and he says, me too, brother. When we could just walk in, take our family with us to the gate, say goodbye at the airplane. Everything was smooth back then. Now they're just, everything we do in our life, we're being watched, and their freedoms are being taken away. And we just easily walked into that.
Yeah. I mean, the Orlando airport is rough unless you have like clear, right? Mm-hmm. But to get clear gets you to the front of the line. I mean, so they use that as the enticement, right? It's like, oh, get this service and you'll go right to the front of the line. You don't ever have to wait to lines anymore, blah, blah, blah. But what do you give up? Your identity?
Yeah.
You know, they scan your retinas, they scan your fingerprints. And it's like, is that the trade-off that most people want?
Yeah.
People have to answer that for themselves, right? But this is where the government sneaks things in on us all the time. Even corporations do. They don't have to be government. Non-governmental organizations do the same thing. You know, for the sake of convenience and the sake of streamlining your life, right? We can make things easier. We can make things simple. We can make things more transparent. I mean, you name it. We've heard the marketing for it.
Yep.
Same thing with central bank digital currency. You know, it's like we're going to identify, we've talked about this a bunch because we talk about this often, but we can identify drug traffickers, human traffickers, money laundering, arms traffickers, right? All that stuff, which is what everybody would want. I want to target those people and make sure that they can't make a living doing illegal stuff.
Yep.
But the flip side of that coin is everything that they're doing to get them, they apply to you, because it's ideologically based spending. And the moment your ideology doesn't match up with the government's, they can flip off the switch from you buying or selling. You know what, LT? Hmm. I can guarantee you one thing. You and I are not on the same ideological same map as the government, right? It's right. Like, I don't want that. No, and here's the thing. All of the viewers of End We Know would fall into that category too.
That's right.
And so, because we want freedom, we want privacy, this is why the government, the Fed, these international institutions like the IMF and everybody else want to get rid of paper money so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because paper money is still private.
Yeah.
You can go to the grocery store, a gas station, a farmer's market, give them a $20 bill. Nobody knows it was you that spent it.
That's right.
If you have to do it with a biometric identification of some sort, like now at Whole Foods, you do that, right? They have RFID chips and all the food. And a lot of the stores, you know, you set up your thing. I don't know. It's the palm reader or whatever it is. It's like, seriously, it's like a palm reader. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. So you go in, it knows who you are, retinal scanning. I don't know what they do, but then everything, you just put it in your cart and you walk out. It's like, that's convenient. That's fast. But it's like, wait a second. They know where I am. They know what I bought. They know what I'm eating. They know what time I got there. They know what time I left. What if somebody was following me? It's like, okay, this starts to get really creepy really fast, but that's what they want. But they're not going to tell you that part. They're going to tell you, you walk into the store, you get what you want. You just walk out. There's no lines. How easy and how fun. It's like, no, that's not what we want.
Right. Even international flights in the airports, we notice that they'll make announcements stating, if you're sitting there next to these gates, just kind of walk around. You'll hear them say, you no longer have to show your passport. We're just going to do an ID of your face. Just show your face, and they take a picture of your face, and you get to get on the plane. You don't have to show your your boarding pass anymore.
Really? I haven't seen that. I don't do much international travel, like, ever. But, oh, my word, crazy. We are marching down the road to serfdom so fast, LT.
It's quick. It's quick. Then there's all kinds of talks about, you know, everybody's freaking out this year about things. I sent you stuff last week, I think, on the, let's see, what's the eclipse. And I tried to tell everybody, like, look, don't run outside, sell all your stuff and look up in there and say, this is it, you know. And there are a lot of great signs out there from the heavens. We're told from the word of God to look for things and look up for, you know, we know that we're going to home soon and we don't know when that is, but there's a lot of talk, a lot of speculation. The world seems to be going crazy all around us, and you've helped us in a way that is just absolutely amazing and making sure we're on track. We're not living in fear. We're watching what's going on, and there's ways to protect ourselves. We just don't know. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, anything could happen to us. It could be 20, 30, 50, 100 years from now, the end. And so we have to be prepared, because people thought the end was back when Hitler was around. People thought the end was happening back when Paul in the scriptures, they said, hey, when's the end? You know, they're thinking this is it. And so it's the warning to everybody is, look, this world has faced some bad times. And everybody thinks this is the time. But I think that folks like yourself, they've helped. God has used you to prepare us to get through these times. And I just appreciate it. One of the things you wanted to share was this, again, the banks. What's going on with this?
So this is a larger story. Actually, this LT, I think, is the most important financial story of the year. It's big. It's going to be big, and it's going to manifest itself in a big way. You know, I'm just telling people now, it's like, watch this. This is going to be huge. So
what is it? What does that headline say again?
Top real estate CEO warns 500 or more banks will either fail or can be consolidated over the next 2 years. So, okay, remember that headline, 500 or more banks. This is from a CEO of a large, you know, real estate company that probably is doing commercial real estate, subdivisions, things like that. And so what do they do? What does he do? He gets loans from banks all the time, all the time. And he's seeing that, boy, these banks are undercapitalized. We're not getting money. There's going to be bank failures. I'm seeing this, talking to my friends, whatever, that are in the business. And he thinks 500 or more banks are going to fail. So my non-trusting brain and heart say, okay, I don't want to take some guy's word for it. Let's go to the biggest banker in the world. You know, Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
What does he say? Right? Because he's an expert. This guy might not be an expert. Granted, he's a big, huge, major company that sees this. But what does Jerome Powell say, the chairman of the Fed? Well, he says that we are going to have bank failures this year because commercial real estate losses are coming. It's like, okay, we are going to have bank failures. Not we might, right? He will. Now, the meaning behind that is a bigger one to me, because this is his system. It's his program. And he's admitting that it's broken, and he doesn't know what to do about it. And there's going to be banks that fail. And it's like, okay. So then we go back to January of 2023. Okay. This was before you and I were even doing any shows together. So in January of 23, I had gone out on some different media outlets and I was talking about the FDIC only having assets to cover 1.7% of all deposits. And I was sounding the warning bells back in January of 2023, a year and a quarter ago, right? So then what happened? We met around March timeframe when Silicon Valley Bank was going under.
Okay.
Right. So that was in March of 2023. Silicon Valley, Signature Bank, Silvergate Bank, Credit Suisse, and First Republic, five regional banks, all went into FDIC receivership. And for me, in this industry, that was the busiest time frame I've seen in 29 years of doing what I do. It was off the charts, busy, thousands of people calling. Everyone was afraid that their money was going to run out at the banks and this contagion that was happening. So the Fed actually put together an emergency funding program called the Bank Temp Funding Program, which is just stimulus money for failing banks so they wouldn't go into FDIC receivership. So I'm thinking, why did they have to do that? And because FDIC only had 1.7% of all assets to cover bank failures of all the deposits in America. Now, after those five banks failed, right, where are we today? So over the weekend, last weekend, I was doing some research, looking up FDIC assets and the total number of bank deposits in America.
Okay.
Guess what? It's 0.74 now. So the FDIC only has 0.74, less than 1% of all deposits in America actually covered. They don't. So forget the $250,000 limit on FDIC insurance. They have 0.74. So if there's, and we saw from 1.7 to 0.74, that's more than half of all of FDIC's assets left when those five banks failed last year.
Okay.
This real estate guy says we're going to have 500 banks fail. Jerome Powell said we're going to have banks fail. So imagine if that real estate guy, this poor guy, he's probably a really smart guy, but let's just say he's the dumbest guy on earth.
Okay.
And his projections are so wrong that it's not 500 banks that fail. It's just five. It's like 1%. He's 99% wrong. That's still the equivalent of what happened in March that took more than half of FDIC's assets. If five banks fail now and they're similar in size, FDIC is wiped out completely. People will not have money. So this is why I think this is the biggest story of the year, because I think FDIC could go insolvent this year. Banks are going to fail. It's just how many of them. Right. And once you have one medium-sized bank that hits the skids, what's human nature? It's like, well, that was a pretty big bank. What about my bank? Is my bank going to have any money? And then it's going to be like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Everyone starts going into the bank wanting some of their money out. And now you have a run on the banks. And, the reason why they stopped the bank runs last time is because of that BTFP, the Bank Temp Funding Program. Emergency capital went and everyone was cheering. They were applauding the Fed. It's like, you did a great job. You stopped the bank runs. They didn't stop anything. They put a Band-Aid on it. You take the Band-Aid off. They never healed the wound that was underneath. And so now when banks start to fail, the first bank that fails after March 11th, which was a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that's when that funding program expired. It's sunset. It's gone. So the first bank that fails after March 11th, which was a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, then what? They're not going to get their money because the emergency funding isn't there, right? Mm-hmm. So now they're going to eat into FDIC insurance, and then you're going to have people going to other banks wanting to pull out, undercapitalized. They're going to have to go into FDIC receivership. This is the contagion that could spread really quickly. Mm. I mean, this will spread more quickly than Fauci giving people boosters, right? It's going to be a lot. I mean, that's a contagion right there. you look at this, and it's like, this is a major issue because banks should be, in people's minds, the safest asset that they have. Really, right. People assume behind that big steel bank vault door is just stacks of hundreds wrapped up, and it's like, they don't have any money there. They really don't have any money because after Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns went out of business in 2009, that caused the big, huge market collapse in 08 and 09, they changed the rules. And you and I have talked about this. And I just want to remind people that the things that we're talking about are actually grounded in research documents. It's nothing that we make up. It's all there. They changed the ownership of your bank accounts in any financial institution. It could be a brokerage account at Schwab or Fidelity or wherever. So back then, they didn't want what happened to Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, which had tons of derivatives debt that they couldn't pay off. Well, they needed collateral to actually use to pay off some of these loans and these derivatives debt. So what did they do? They changed the ownership So you no longer, LT, own your bank accounts. You no longer own your checking, savings, CDs. You don't. Neither do I. Neither does anybody watching. They changed you to a beneficial owner, meaning you gave ownership to the financial institution, all of them. Doesn't matter the financial institution. You give up ownership to them. You become a beneficiary of the assets that you gave them, meaning they can use it now as collateral. They can pledge your deposits as collateral to pay off debt. Because if I needed debt to pay off and I didn't have anything, you know, worth anything, it's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pledge LT's car and his bike as collateral to pay off my loan. And you say, you can't pledge my stuff. It's not yours. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. See, but that's what the banks just did, right? They now can use your deposits as their ownership, which means they can pledge that as collateral to pay off their derivatives debt exposure and everything else. Meaning, if they totally run out, we bail out our banks. This is what Janet Yellen said a few months ago, is we're no longer going to do government bailouts of these large financial institutions. We're going to do bail-ins, which means we as people are going to bail out our own financial institutions. They already codified it into law by making us beneficial owners, so they didn't even have to ask for our permission. They're just going to do it. They're just going to use our assets. That's the worst kind of bail-in. It's without our permission, right? So over the last few weeks, I've been connecting some of these dots, and it's like everything is lining up the way that they wanted it to be. We gave up ownership of our assets. We no longer have government bailouts. We have bail-ins. We no longer have the right to really complain about their management because we already gave up ownership, right? We now have problem, crisis, taxes, inflation, interest rates, wars, rumors of wars, all this nasty stuff that's happening. And now that breeds civil chaos and civil disorder. And then some stupid federal judge earlier in the week decided illegal immigrants can actually carry a firearm because the Second Amendment says that the Second Amendment applies to persons and they're persons. It's like, but they're not citizens. Does that mean that that just because a terrorist comes into the country, they can have a gun because they're a person? Are you joking? This is the stupidest decision I've ever heard, right? Mm. You have to be a citizen to get the benefits. Like that would be saying, I'm a citizen of heaven because I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, I'm grafted into that vine. That would be like saying a Satanist is part of the same family when they disregard Jesus. It's not. You have to be part of something. You have to be a citizen of this country to reap the benefits. I have to be a follower of Jesus to benefit, to reap the benefits of following Jesus, right? You can't just, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, but this is this upside down world that we're living in right now. Social chaos always follows economic upheaval. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard in America, becoming really hard. My son's 18. He can't really get a gun because he's not 18. He can't get a pistol. Right. Mm. But an illegal immigrant can.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Really? Mm. He pays taxes. Seriously. So anyways, bottom line is chaos, fear, turbulence. This is going to cause people to start to give away their freedoms. These bank failures, as I think about this, it's like there's two potential outcomes. Why did they stop the emergency funding program to banks when politicians know that if the banking system fails, the whole financial system fails?
Right.
That should be the safest thing. People will lose confidence in everything if there's widespread bank failures. Why would they do that during an election year? Either A, they truly have run out of money and they have no choice, or B, they actually want it to fail.
That's right. That's
what I lean towards. Yeah, because they're bringing in something that's so ugly and so nasty, and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up with yours, which is the mark of the beast. That's Revelation 13 right there. It's like, who would want that? I can't think of the most liberal person, the most conservative person. People are Democrats, people are Republicans. Nobody would want that. Nobody would want spyware in your bank account, the ability to cut you off from buying or selling, because people on the left would say, I don't want that. Trump is going to cut me off from doing that. People on the right are going to say, I don't want that. Biden's going to cut me off because I'm a believer or whatever. You know, right. Every single, no matter where you are in the political spectrum, there's always going to be somebody else who's in charge at some point of your life. And nobody's going to want that. But yet everybody may think that that's kind of a good idea if it fixes the problem of us not having money. We can't feed our kids. We can't pay our mortgage. We can't pay our rent. We can't pay our utilities. We can't survive. Please, government, fix it. Please just fix it. We'll give you whatever freedoms and our religious freedoms, our personal freedoms, our economic freedoms, our political freedoms. We'll give you whatever. Just make sure that my family doesn't starve. Right. See, this is where I think we're headed. So I don't think that the people running the show are idiots. They're not stupid. I think that they're evil. And I think that this banking collapse is manufactured to bring in something that's so insidious and foul. But yet people are going to think that it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. How? Because the collapse was so big before that, that it makes it look good. That's my opinion. That's how. That's when I start connecting some of these dots. That's how I'm starting to connect them in my head.
Right, right. And so, yeah. So on that note, the side of on where I agree with you could be that if the enemy's up to no good and they want chaos, then they can use that chaos to then probably use the powers that I've been reading about, where they say, "Well, we don't need an election this year because the whole United States is run amok." The other theory that we have, especially that we talk about on the truther side, would be just maybe there's been a plan that was set in place years ago, and these evil ones are about to have their butts handed to them. Excuse my French and using that, but in a sense, these guys are going to go down. Either way, we have to be prepared. And when all this is going on, the best thing that we can see, which is biblical, you know, and we talk about all the time, especially here, it's important to you to help folks out and understanding, get a hold of precious metals, silver and gold, especially during times like this of upheaval and changes. Hey, it's a great time to do it. And that's where you guys come in.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the answer. That's the financial answer. You know, Jesus is a spiritual answer, but he gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God gives us all of that because I'm 100% in accord with you. I think it's going to get really bad. But I do think that the change in system, there's going to be parallel systems that emerge, the bad one and a good one. And people are going to start gravitating towards the good one. People are going to start gravitating towards a gold-backed currency, pro-freedom movement, and freedom across the board, politically, religiously, economically. See, but people, when things are just average, when people are fat and happy, when the economy is good, people get apathetic and they get lazy and they forget to vote. They forget to do anything. And it's like, forget that God gave them everything that they gave them. Now things get really bad. People start to look for truth and look for solutions. And I think that you are 100% spot on. I don't think that we are going to end up with believers having to fall into that camp because I think there's going to be alternative solutions. I think gold and silver is part of that.
Right.
And I think that this could be really exciting. And the reason I say that is because you've got central banks around the world that are massing thousands of tons of gold. You've got states that want a state-backed charter bank backed by gold, like Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, and some others. This is exciting. This is exciting to me. And it shows me that God is moving. God hasn't forgot about us. In fact, he's going to use this to expand his kingdom.
Amen.
Right. And I think this is the amazing thing what's coming. But in the meantime, don't just put your head in the sand, because he is giving us a solution. He is giving us a lifeline. And I believe that tangible assets like gold and silver are a big, huge part of that. It's not the only part. We need to wake up politically. There will be revival in this country. There will be revival around the world, because you can't have economic freedom without religious freedom. That's right. You can't have political freedom without religious freedom. And I think religious freedom comes first and everything else is going to follow. That's how I believe.
Amen. That's so wonderful. And I'm just thinking how great it's going to be to have you on board August 11th through 18th on the cruise at sea with LT. We're going to have you up there. Can't wait to hear you speak and meet so many people. Hundreds are signing up, and it's just going to be an amazing time to hang out with you. Really appreciate you guys. Remember, you can go to amwenow.com/gold. Amazing updates every week, but you guys can get your own updates personally. Just reach out to them. And there's a phone number too. What's that phone number once again, Dr. Kirkhilly?
Yep, 720-605-3900. That's 720-605-3900. And just say LT sent you.
Yep, there you go. And have a great conversation with them. And I just appreciate everybody that has been calling. We hear great reports from Dr. Elliott and his team about just the great AmWeKnow fans, how amazing they are, how loving and great support of this channel. It's just been amazing. If you'd like, we can close in prayer.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you. Just an amazing update today. Every week that we get from Dr. Kirk Elliott, his energy that you've provided him, how you've prepared him his entire life for this moment in time that we're living in, just upheaval in nations and strange things happening with banks and so much more. Heavenly Father, we just depend on you. Without you, we can do nothing. And we just thank you for this time that you're using him and his company that you put together to help folks out financially with their future in this parallel system that's being put together by you, waking so many people up. We know that your chastening is your love for all of us, and we certainly appreciate what you're doing in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. Looking forward to next week.
It'll be good. We'll talk soon.